When it comes to flying your drone, trial and error is not a strategy. It's insanity. Insanity. So get your drone questions answered by the experts so you can save time and money by lowering your learning curve. And now your hosts, Rob Burdick and Paul Aitken.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and thank you for joining us for this special edition podcast. And we are so glad that you've chosen to spend a few minutes of your day with us.
We definitely appreciate your time. And today we are lucky enough to have John Rupert from J. Rupert Law. John, thanks for being on board today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, well, you know, in difficult times like these with the FAA doing things that, you know, they were ordered not to do, it's a good time to have a lawyer on board, it seems like.
Well, it's exciting times. This is a very convoluted area that is literally taking off, pun totally intended.
It's okay if it's intended.
It is okay. So everyone...
Someone say it's not intended. I never got that. I was like, what, was it a crime?
Right, exactly.
So everyone out there knows registration is a big deal. The FAA just made an announcement saying, you know, hey, we're gonna register or make registration mandatory. It's going to cost $5. Any drone from 250 grams to 55 pounds. John, first reaction, one sentence. What do you think about this?
One sentence, that's tough.
Oh, well, that's the idea.
Period. Yeah, okay. More of a complete sentence, so my language teacher won't come after me. I'm very surprised that the FAA chose to now apply 91203 to recreational pilots.
So what is 91203 for the listeners out there that don't know exactly what that form is?
You you're flying an aircraft. Therefore, the federal aviation regulations apply. The FAA has exercised its discretion in determining which of the regulations currently apply or they will enforce against you. Well, they have, if you will, kind of made these, a bunch of them dormant. They don't apply them anyway whatsoever. Two model aircraft flyers, such as the airworthiness certificate, the pilot certificate, transponders, air, you know, all of that. Well, now implied in this proposed, I mean, that's not a proposed, it's actually a regulation that's going into effect. 91203 says that your aircraft must be registered prior to operating in the national airspace. So that's really what's hidden behind this. And this drone rule is creating Part 48. It's an alternative means to registering your aircraft other than what we currently have in effect, Part 47, which is a difficult paper-based process that implements 91203.
But doesn't that go against, I mean, one of the arguments that I felt like I read on your blog was that in order to change the N number system or aircraft registry, they would have to actually change the law, which would be a much more detailed kind of way of going through making a law or making a rule, because there's been no public comment period. It was just kind of like FAA says, hey, you know, Congress said don't promulgate any rules against drones, but we need people to register their drones because it's going to be safer.
Right. So just backing it up a little bit, what just happened procedurally wise? Okay. So you have the Administrative Procedures Act, which was created by Congress for all administrative agencies to follow. The general overall gist of it is that the agency publishes a rule in the Federal Register, the public comments on that, then the agency digests those comments, responds to them in the preamble of the final rule, and then publishes the final rule in the Federal Register. So we witnessed this back in February when the FAA published the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking. So they published that, we commented, now they're digesting it, and at some point, probably in the next 1 to 3 years, they're going to publish it again as a final rule. What happened here is there is an exception to the Administrative Procedures Act to do the notice and comment that's required if there is good cause. There's three three things that can allow you to have the good cause exception and bypass that whole thing. So the FAA is going to try to show that these regulations are passing, that it's impracticable to go through the notice and comment period, that it is unnecessary or a third one is that it's contrary to public interest. And so in the large blog post that I just published yesterday, I went through all three of those points and explained how it isn't actually impracticable. There's actually a 1990s DC Circuit Court of Appeals case that went in and kind of addressed this issue, and they said that, well, we're not going to actually question the, I believe it was the FAA in that case, the FAA's decision for lack of prosecution or inactivity in actually creating the regulation, but the agency not doing anything cannot then be then turned around and later on kind of like create an emergency situation. So it's like public policy. You can't just sit on some problem that you know about and then wait till the last minute and then go, oh, it's an emergency now. It's an emergency because we basically sat on it and now we only have a day to implement it. Therefore, we get a good cause exception. So the DC Circuit Court of Appeals shot that case down back in the 1990s.
Nice.
There's similar cases that have, further gone on through this. So that was the blog post. I highly suggest everyone read that. But backing it out, the FAA arguing they got the good cause exception to just immediately publish a rule that will go into effect on the 21st. So this isn't a notice. This is a final proposed interim rule that is that has just been published. And it will have the force of law. So, well, depending on that, how I guess the FAA's eyes, they'll at least try to enforce it starting a week from now.
So John, one question I have is, and maybe I don't think you answered this directly, who gave the good cause exception? How did they get that?
The FAA is arguing that.
Okay.
So that's probably the better way to put it. It's, we have a good cause exception because their argument is we have a proliferation of drones coming into the market here. People are buying them like crazy, and based upon the data we have from 2014, 2015, we're seeing the sightings of drones ramping up, and the way it's heading, the trajectory, is we have a situation here that it's going to become dangerous, and it actually is safer for the public to us to skip the notice and comment period, but the benefit of that, and then just go right to making in a rule immediately to basically go in effect about a week from now. They also make the unnecessary argument saying that it's completely unnecessary to actually publish this in the Federal Register and allow comments on it because it's going to be very likely people are not going to argue with that, which I don't really know why they published that. I'm trying to make a good faith representation of their position on that, but they make the unnecessary claim, and that's really the only one that would actually make sense. So the 333 guys, probably 95% of them are going to say, yeah, we aren't going to contest this because it's streamlined, it's on the internet, it's so easy. Commercial guys are never going to argue with that. The big problem is the model aircraft community has never been required to register the aircraft before. They're going to be the ones that are going to be very upset. So the unnecessary claim isn't going to work. The impracticability of isn't going to work because that's more like an emergency situation. You got to get the situation under control.
And you're saying that it's not an emergency situation because they've been putting this off for so long, and now they're trying to implement it before Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Because the they were alerted to the AUVSI economic report that was published in March of 2013 estimated conservatively that there was going to be 100,000 commercial units sold per year. In 2014, they started collecting data. In 2015, they're still collecting data. Why did they wait till now to actually publish this as a direct final rule? And why didn't they publish notice proposed rulemaking maybe back a year or something, or a year or two ago? Why is it now it's an emergency? Furthermore, the idea of emergency, it's think of it like 911. If you called up 911 and 911 said to you, hey, hold on one second, we're going to have to convene a task force, and that task force is going to get back to us about 2 weeks from now, and then we're going to take those recommendations, and then we're going to figure out a plan, and we're going to send officers out to your house, and then those officers will then, after that point, will be over to your house in about a week. You're going to be like, huh? Exactly. So that's the thing is, like, emergency means, like, now, immediate, under control. If they really wanted to be consistent with the emergency situation, then they should ground all drones everywhere immediately, period, until drones are registered. Not just, oh, there's a grace period for you guys already flying that goes till February the 19th. Everyone after the 21st that has a new or unused aircraft has to register before flying. So it's – and why is it now? Like, what is the data behind it? Even the AMA did a study on this whole situation, and they went over and debunked a lot of the drone sightings. Even furthermore, the data is bad, and it's unreliable to be used justifiably as a justification for the impracticability, because there's drone sightings, but it isn't clear that all of those drones were flying in locations where they were not supposed to be flying, or contrary to what the FAA said. So, for instance, if you had a drone near an airport, what does that tell you? You had a drone near an airport. Couldn't it be in that data that you gathered of the 100 drone sightings near airports that 99 of them could be all compliant, or maybe even 100% of them could be compliant, that they all followed 9157A and merely notified the airport manager and the tower?
Well, I think you got to understand too that people are even having issues right now trying to fly within 5 miles of an airport and notifying that airport, and you know the airport ATC managers are coming back and saying, oh, well, you can't fly here, you don't have permission. But 9157, and I don't know about 9157A, but 9157 said it's purely a notification, it's not a permission. So,
you're kind of picking up on it. It's like, well, it's notification. So, under the FAA's guidance documents, you just have to give mere notification. So, how do you know then, therefore, all of those drones flying near airports were somehow illegally or operating contrary to what the FAA said in the guidance documents? Like, how? You just saw a drone near an airport. Furthermore, how close were these drones near airports and near airplanes? Was this, I saw it, you know, from distance of like half a mile, 100 feet, 5 feet? And so that's the really bad problem here is we say, well, you have drone sightings. And the next thing you know, it's like blown up out of proportion. You know, it's extremely on the rise, drone sightings everywhere. Oh my gosh. And you dig down into the data and you're like, well, this doesn't actually look like it is, it's actually like a big emergency type of problem here. I mean, we have drones that I do agree with. There are people out there that are playing the how high can I fly game, and I don't care, forget the FAA. So there are those guys out there doing that. So, but are they in and of itself, that number, is that actually creating an emergency situation that is far greater than the benefit to the public, the entire United States, to actually comment on this?
Yeah, see,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree with you. So what about some of the other issues? I mean, if they are using this new form of registration and defining these as aircraft, why aren't we seeing the FAA going after people like William Meredith for shooting drones out of the sky? Because it seems to me that if we are defining them as aircraft now, that there should be actions against people who take actions against the drones themselves.
I think if you were logically consistent with it, I mean, that's a good logical argument, but the thing is that the FAA can use its discretion and say, well, we're not going to choose to go after it in these situations. Yeah. In these situations, we will.
Use the word logic.
So, yeah. It's like bureaucracy and logic don't always go hand in hand. So.
It's an incremental approach is what the FAA is doing right now. So drones are aircraft for purposes of 1.1. Then they've also now declared that 9113 is also on the table. Now 91203 is on the table. So, approach leading up to most likely some type of drone licensing, like a ham radio certificate, is probably what's coming down the pike in 1 to 3 years.
Interesting.
I would not be surprised of that. Now, timeline on that, if that's going to get done, is going to be hinging primarily upon Section 336 and the exact meaning, congressional meaning of the FAA may not promulgate any rule or regulation.
That's a big question.
Aircraft. So that's actually the super problem right there for the FAA, and they're going to have to overcome the word any. And so in my that analysis I did, I went into some cases that actually went – the Supreme Court cases on the word any. And that's actually – they fought over that, multiple cases up in the D.C. Circuit and in United States Supreme Court. What did that actually mean? Because you have to look at what does the context say for any – what is the noun being used? Because the any is in front of the noun. Is that noun a certain type of scope that could particularly mean different things? So is it like very narrow specific? Is it like thing, anything? Well, anything, you could kind of just play around with that scope of that real easily. Is that anything like a person?
Well, do you think the FAA will actually overcome that? Or do you think this will be such a challenge that it could, calm all these registration fears? Because what we're seeing is drone pilots is they're saying, oh, hey, this process normally takes 1 to 3 years to get a rule like this out, but we're going to incentivize you to register and you don't have to pay the registration fee if you register in the first 30 days, even though this law or rule may not be relevant for
365. What? I didn't understand.
Sorry. Sometimes it's hard to talk into the microphone and have you hear me at the same time. My point was this. My point is, this is a very big hurdle for the FAA, it seems like. And it seems like at the same time, the FAA is trying to incentivize people into registration in a time frame that is much sooner and shorter than the normal time frame to make a rule like this actually, a law or something that we have to actually follow. So I didn't really have a question, but other than, will this argument of promulgate any rule against model aircraft, will it slow down the registration, and should people wait to register until, this has been challenged in court? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, you see, okay, well, we have till Monday, the 21st. So that's not many days from now. So what can happen is some individual or an organization can file a lawsuit in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals challenging this, try to get an injunction before it goes into effect. That's what can be done. Now, the primary target of this, the scope of the group of the people that are being targeted here are going to be a bunch of young males between the ages of 18 to 40 that work full-time hustling and that are busy. So why would you want to pick a fight when you can pay $5 and the whole problem go away for you? Yeah. So I only see two scenarios likely. One, large organization picks a fight here in the next so many days or maybe even after that, or in an enforcement action where the FAA comes after an individual who is actually well capitalized enough and he actually wants to pick a fight with the FAA to try to dismiss the charges under 91.203, saying, these recreational, that it's all illegally created, basically. That's what I see coming down the pike. So everyone might want to call the Academy of Model Aeronautics and get them to, represent their members. At this point, kind of like the FAA just basically, threw down the gauntlet, and it's like, on guard.
Yeah, but it seems I agree with you. I agree with you, John. I just think some of the response in the community has been like, the AMA didn't step up during, the task force meetings, even though the AMA openly said, we had a dissenting opinion to this and we weren't even allowed to publish that or give our recommendations. The sentiment that I've seen has been very anti-AMA. Like, a lot of people are saying, why should I even be a part of the AMA anymore? So it seems like in the AMA's eyes, if they want to retain not only their membership but their passive revenue, they have got to step up and do something right now.
Right. They might want to consider doing that. I don't know what their thought process is behind that, but it definitely makes sense that they might want to pick a fight right now, because a lot of their membership is very upset and they feel very very not well represented by the AMA.
So what I hear you saying, John, is that it's unlikely that we're going to see any litigation coming out of this. Is that true? Would you?
I don't know. I don't know enough. I mean,
if you were to make a guess, I know you're a lawyer.
From somebody today, And then I emailed back and forth with somebody today, and there were some lawyers that were contemplating. So let's just say that. So
it's possible, obviously.
It's possible.
You should tell them that we've got their back.
Well, the thing is it's very costly, and
right.
Everybody's
yeah.
all, you know, rah, rah, rah. But then when it gets down to
the cost,
writing and researching and stuff, this takes a lot of time, and it's very hard to just do this for free.
Well,
so that's
why
it's probably going to be
I think a lot of drone companies are seeing this as an opportunity for PR and marketing, because if they can be the firm that stands up against the FAA for registration, they're going to have massive, massive national news exposure, and they're going to have massive, massive attention towards themselves. But again, the other part of that is just what you're saying, John. You know, how much is this going to cost? Can we really afford this long term? Can our business afford a blow like this? You know, there are many tools that the government can use, whether people understand it or not, to really silence a corporation or also make it more difficult for that corporation to operate. So it seems like this is kind of like a rat race as well, or it could be perceived as a rat race to who's going to sue the FAA first. Would you agree?
Long I don't fully pause. Know, because a lot of the companies are starting to, you know, some of them are starting to buddy up to the FAA, and they might mm-hmm. be feeling that a lawsuit against the FAA challenging them could cause some stress to their present relationship to, you know, individual yeah. relationships inside the FAA. So they might be wanting to make a tactical decision and saying, hey, well, it's better to keep our guys on the inside of the FAA that we have to deal with happy with us, rather than potentially helping out people that are members, or, you know, 'cause, like, what's the benefit? I mean, it's not really going to be too much to the drone companies, other than maybe the PR, you know, kind of being like the Robin Hood type of guy that's like standing up for the little guy. But how much is that really going to translate into dollars? Like, how many people are going to go specifically out buy that guy's drone?
And there are,
specifically, and how much is that going to offset the cost of litigation for paying an attorney to do it? Because if you're going to do it, you don't want to just do it like, you know, like an idiot and go in there and be like, do a half, you know, half good job, and then the FAA wins, and now you look really stupid. And,
yeah, so
I wasted a bunch of money.
John, there are probably better, less expensive ways to get a lot of PR.
Right.
So maybe in playing devil's advocate here, at least in
Uh-oh.
The context of this conversation,
Uh-oh.
And I don't know, some people might not even consider this devil's advocate. They might just call it, I don't know, smart. Why not just say, I'm just going to register my drone and move on?
That's what Vic said.
I mean, I think a lot of people are saying that. What would you say to those folks? Other than, I think the only thing that comes to mind is the potential Pandora's box that's being opened, and what you're, you know, sort of getting started.
It's the principal issue.
Okay, so you've got the principal
right.
issue. Beyond that, why not just register and say cool?
Right, yeah, that might be
because of the government and their ability to do mean things.
Well, you gotta, there is a principal aspect here that the FAA just went around the All Administrative Procedures Act, and now is forcing you, if you want to fly your drone, to, in exchange for the registration, give over your name, address, and your email. So there is some privacy concerns. So I think the model aircraft community it's not organized enough. AMA, I don't know if they're actually really going to do anything. I don't know. But individual groups interested in individuals' privacy, such as like Epic or Access Now or ACLU, I see those guys potentially stepping in, because they're not picking a fight on behalf of drone people, but more on behalf of keeping a federal agency in check for, you know, potentially grabbing too much of people's privacy than what they really they should. So I see it more of a privacy battle. If we can get, you know, large agencies involved there, then those guys have deep pockets, and they're well capitalized and well organized. You know, they're skilled enough to pick a really good fight with the FAA, saying, yeah, you're asking for all this stuff. You should go to the rulemaking process. And if this is really an emergency, you should really just say no flying period whatsoever, and just call it moratorium, and then just not, right? I mean, just go that route. If this is really an emergency, why do people have to then now give up their information?
You know, as you were sitting here, John, Rob is like, why don't I just sign up with a fake address and a fake name?
Well, and I wasn't necessarily going to say that out loud because we're not.
Where's the devil's advocate now,
not,
Rob?
I'm not recommending that people do that.
So let's say,
I'm not recommending that.
Because there's going to be something in there somewhere saying under penalty of perjury, blah, blah, blah. You know, I.
Blah, blah, blah is right.
So let me just tell you right now, if you goofed up in whatever you did, don't lie about it, because whatever you did generally is never considered a third degree felony.
Yeah. I see where this hierarchy is going. So you're saying your what you actually did is not nearly as bad as a third degree felony under perjury.
Yeah. So remember
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you can maybe go and hang out at Martha Stewart's jail cell, you know, after you get convicted. Because,
well, let's be real. People are going to do that.
She committed perjury. Don't lie. If you goofed up, like, don't, first of all, don't admit it. Call me. And then if you did admit it truthfully, don't lie. Just whatever you do. That is the one thing you never, you have a Fifth Amendment right. Don't say anything. And if you do say something, be accurate. But I'll just say generally never say anything. Fifth Amendment, man. Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
Yes, we've learned that from you.
You know,
John,
I have to say that, kind of sounded like the old boss from Office Space. You know, he's like, I'm going to need those TPS reports.
You know how that goes for you. Why don't you write me a letter from, you know, federal prison? You know, I'll come over there and we'll fly a drone together, but probably not. I'll just probably forget about you and just stay at home and watch TV.
Yeah.
All right. So that really comes down to be truthful, but ultimately this isn't really going to come back on anybody, for lack of a better phrase, unless they do something stupid in the first place.
Well, see, that's an issue for me, Rob, because in there they say that the fine, which this fine is an astronomical number,
right.
You know, $250,000, but they're only going to do that if it's egregious use, excuse me. Wrong G word. It's not
You're
a G word.
Ball.
Yeah. Anyway, so but the issue I have with that is it's vague. There's no true definition on when and how or why they're going to go after someone for not having a registered drone. And again, it goes back to that point, John, that I made to you before we started recording the podcast. I'm going to make it again. You know, someone on my Facebook page said, the issue I see with this is that this registration is actually going to give the FAA a way out from being thrown under the bus. Well, what do I mean? Well, right now in media stories, if you hear a plane crash, the media almost instantly goes to, well, the plane, you know, the pilot did not file a flight plan. And, you know, kind of lets the FAA wash their hands of going on TV and talking about it, or really taking advantage of really making a press release or really a reaction to it, to the story. That being said, the argument that was being made on my Facebook page by someone else was, this gives the FAA a way to wash their hands if a drone crashes into a plane, because the FAA could say, well, the drone was unregistered, and because of that, we've got no information on that drone. And it would still take the same stance that they do now with media stories, which is, you know, oh, the pilot didn't file a flight plan, even though we all know that most pilots don't file flight plans because most flights by small-time pilots are VFR flights. Do you think that this is giving the FAA a way out if, say, a drone was to hit a plane? Do you think that maybe this is part of their strategy?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the motive behind it. I think that it's an intercriminal approach to regulating aircraft more and more so. I don't think it was the FAA directly that spawned all this. I think it was primarily higher-ups in the Department of Transportation. The FAA takes its orders from the Department of Transportation. So I wouldn't be laying the blame completely at just the FAA, because notice they didn't do this until recently when the DOT started getting in on this. So there could be some stuff up in DOT, and then the FAA is the scapegoat, and we all whip up on the the FAA when they're the ones that didn't actually initially want to do it. So I don't know the full exact reasonings behind it all. However, it's an incremental approach. Furthermore, I think regardless of whatever sense there is in the argument, because a lot of these arguments on the internet or media news, everything are just ignorant. It ultimately goes to the overall trajectory of the culture is against drone pilots, because they tend to, I wouldn't say everyone, but the individuals flying drones with, they get them on Christmas or wherever and start doing reckless things. Once again, a lot of this young males between the ages of 18 to probably like 30 are doing stuff and throwing it all over YouTube, doing stupid stuff. And how fun, you know, would it be to do this? And it goes from a culture, it's the culture of fun, not really a culture of safety or professionalism. And so then it's pretty much poisoned the whole entire community. Everyone's branded as that guy.
Much, yeah, right? Like, where you've got everyone, you've got the mass collective getting punished for the actions of, you know, the minority.
And so I think everyone needs to understand that individuals don't really want to think about this or hear your rational arguments or even hear arguments. They hear you're a drone flying near an airport. It could hit the aircraft, cause one of the engines, you know, to explode because it gets sucked into the engine, and then the airliner with little Johnny on board that was coming to see grandma and grandpa for Christmas is now dead. And that's because some punk at the end of the runway is flying his drone. I think it should be registered. I think it should be banned. Now, it doesn't really matter if I made any sense. A lot of people are going to go, yeah. Why? Because they have nothing left to lose. They have nothing to lose. I mean, they're not flying drones, and I think everyone should really be on their best behavior right now, go out of their way to educate individuals and fly as safely as possible, because anything that can be used against the community will be, and then magnified times like a million.
Right.
Yeah. Now, here's my last question for you. We've got to wrap this up, John, and we greatly appreciate you being on board for this podcast. And guys, remember, if you've got a question for the Ask John segment, just go ahead and go to astronew.com and upload that for John to answer. But John, my last question for you is, do you think registration actually solves the problem of safety? Because this is what it's all about. They're saying, you know, we need registration for safety. In your opinion, do you think registration helps or benefits the aspect of safety?
I don't believe so, because merely requiring the drone to be registered, I don't think is... It's not taking enough steps. You're going to have to be very comprehensive with this. So having the drone with maybe taglets and stuff on it, hidden inside it, registration stuff all over it, that would then make it a little bit better, because just simply I go to a website and then type in some information. I don't even know how that's getting validated, because if I can just go and take somebody's mail, you know, right? I have their name and their address right now. Make a fake email account. Could that potentially work under this registration system? You know, and if you don't have a government ID tying that together, that's a picture ID, it's going to be hard for law enforcement or FAA to do anything. Furthermore, if you're attaching this thing, you know, this registration sticker to your drone, you can easily just pull it off, or even if it crashes, it could get lost and burn up. So they're trying, but I don't think it's enough to actually accomplish that goal.
Gotcha. Well, I think we here at DroneU agree with you. So, John, I just want to say thank you again so much for coming on to the Ask DroneU podcast and talking about this registration issue. I know our members greatly appreciate it. In fact, I've already had members been texting me and calling me, hey, what's John's phone number? I want to get my 333 through John. So your presence and your value is very high, and we just all greatly appreciate it. So, John, thank you again so much for coming on board, and we greatly appreciate it. Guys, that's going to do it for our episode today. We just want to say thank you so much for listening in. We've been getting a lot of reviews, and a lot of you are following us on Instagram. Our following has gone up significantly thanks to you. So we greatly appreciate that. We appreciate the continued reviews, and we appreciate your subscription via iTunes. So guys, again, that is going to do it for us today. If you have any issues, any questions, any statements, or you want your voice to be heard on the registration issue, go to Ask DroneU and give us your statement. Rob, that was an in-depth podcast, and I'm glad it's over. It seems like, though, this registration issue is only going to fester more and more and more.
Registration and beyond. Absolutely. it's going to continue, and we'll just keep rolling with it and doing our best to spread.
Yeah, man.
Just, you know.
License. Watch it.
Yeah. And, but yeah. We just want to keep educating people.
There's gonna be a drone pilot's license at some point coming up here. Mark my words. Predicting it. I started predicting drone registration coming down the pike here not that long ago. Drone licensing is next, and it's gonna be started by some stupid incident. Either terrorist activity or someone flying a drone and it hits an aircraft or something. One of those two things catalyzed the whole thing. And I'm reading right now a Popular Mechanics article, and ISIS has already been using drones for in their fights and stuff overseas since back in 2014. So
yeah, it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Anyways, it's not going away.
It's not going to happen.
Nope, it's not going away.
Well, guys, on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. We greatly appreciate you listening in. And again, we appreciate all the members of DroneU. If you want to learn more, go to AskDroneU or go to thedroneU.com. It is true, we are giving away the Don't Crash course in an effort to educate more people. So if you buy a drone through Multicopter Warehouse or other distributors, you will get the Don't Crash course for free. So check out that offering if you do buy a drone. If you haven't bought a brand new drone, you didn't get that, you can still get the Don't Crash course. It's only $97 for 90 minutes of the most comprehensive information that will help you avoid all forms of crashing. We'll also teach you the habits and routines to avoid crashing at all costs. But anyway, Rob, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Be sure and tune in next time to your personal experts for answering your drone questions, Rob Burdick and Paul Aiken, so you can keep lowering your learning curve and save time and money. Time and money.